On today's Piano Jazz, we revisit an unusual program from 1996, as Marion McPartland's guest is Bela Fleck, an incredible musician who has crossed all musical lines with his magical sound on the banjo. And whether it's country, bluegrass, classical, or jazz, Bela gives it his own unique touch. We join Marion now as she welcomes Bela Fleck.
It's great that you're here. I've wanted to do this show with you for a long time.
Well, I was thrilled when you called up and asked. I've loved the show too.
Well, I'm glad, and we've never had a banjo player, and of course you're an exceptional player. I mean, you don't play the way that I guess I sort of have this idea of the banjo, which is sort of plunking away in an old-timey band and everybody's wearing a straw hat.
Right.
And
right.
That's not you at all.
Not really, although I like all kinds of music, and country music and bluegrass are great too, as well as jazz and
yes,
classical and everything.
Are.
They all have their strengths.
And I see where you were with Bonnie Raitt. Did you open for her?
Yeah, actually we opened her European tour, which is a lot of fun. And she has that blues thing down. I enjoyed listening to her play slide every night and sing. But every music is either good or not, you know, or maybe it's better to say you like it or not, because what's good and what isn't is sort of a matter of personal taste. But I love so many different kinds of things.
Well, I do too. And it's sort of like Duke Ellington said, there's only two things, good music and bad music.
Right.
And I don't know, I just thought of Bonnie Raitt because I saw her quite recently out in Long Island. And I really love her music. I mean, I don't know what to call it, really, but it's just something I like a lot.
Yeah, me too.
And before we go any further, it'd be really nice to play some music since we're talking so much about it, and we could pick a nice tune that you and I and our bass player, Gary Mazzarapi, could do together. What
sure.
do you think?
You guys play In Walked Bud?
Oh, yes. Good monk tune.
Real good one.
Okay.
One, two. Thank you.
here we are, we're really doing it. And when I think of, you know, wondering how a guy got to play the banjo like you do, I mean, it's like nobody else, because, you know, I guess I have a preconceived idea of people playing banjo, you know, and they go clink, clink, clink in a Dixieland band. And this is not it at all. How did you arrive at this way of playing?
Well, I actually fell in love with the banjo, hearing it in a bluegrass context with Earl Scruggs playing the Ballad of Jed Clampett. And but as I was growing up and learning to play it, actually I started when I was 15, in the city I was hearing people like Chick Corea and Pat Martino was playing a lot around then. So that sort of time, I guess we call it the fusion era, but a lot of great jazz players were experimenting and doing interesting things. And
it's
when
funny, I read somewhere you heard Chick with the Return to Forever band.
Yeah.
Well, that turned me around, too, with that wonderful group with Roy Haynes and Miroslav, I think.
Oh, that was the early group, yeah. And I saw them when it was Stanley Clark and Al DiMeola, sort of the more rock and roll version. Mm-hmm. And I was a pretty impressionable teenager. And these guys were doing things on their instruments that I couldn't believe. And I kept thinking while I watched them play that those notes had to be somewhere on this instrument, and it was just a matter of finding them. And so I sort of had to do a search, like a study of the instrument, a serious study of scales and arpeggios and things that hadn't really been done. I was going to say before, but they probably have been done before, but maybe in the 1800s, you know, when the banjo was a really popular instrument. Certainly there was plenty of scale study books around that time. People seem to have forgotten about the fact that at one time the banjo was really the most popular instrument in America.
So actually it has more possibilities that you were able to discover than sort of the average player playing it.
Well, I'm finding out now about some of its heritage, you know, and how popular it was, how people played classical music on it. There were banjo orchestras.
No kidding.
Ladies sat in the parlor playing the banjo, and it really was similar to the way the guitar is now, maybe in being the instrument that everybody sort of can play something on. But it just sort of got people moved on, you know. When the 1900s came around, it was pretty much just in a few, you know, in New Orleans, and you know, Jelly Roll Morton and Louis Armstrong were using it in their groups, and it was in that music. But it was pretty much falling out of the pocket, and by the time jazz started to progress, it fell out of the music altogether, and guitar took over.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, in the hills of North Carolina, young Earl Scruggs was developing a new style that sort of set the world on its ear, and it was a folk style that he developed to a very high art, which became bluegrass banjo playing. And so I came into jazz through the back door. Sort of the banjo world keeps getting better and better since Earl. People keep growing and trying new things, and eventually they started to move towards jazz. So I was learning the bluegrass people's impressions of jazz. So finally I started to go to the source and study.
You went to Kentucky? Uh-huh. You moved there?
Right, that's right. So, but I was studying the source of the jazz instead of doing the jazz that the bluegrass guys were learning, like maybe learning some jazz tunes and playing them bluegrass style. I wanted to really play it, so I was going to Charlie Parker and people like that and studying their solos and trying to figure out what was going on with all of this.
You know what? I'd love to hear you play a solo.
Okay.
What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. What'll it be?
I'm going to try a version of... Actually, I won't tell you.
All right.
And see if you could figure it out.
Okay. Thank you. Boy, that's really fabulous. The Star Spangled Banner. I had no idea that's what you were going to do. When did you think you'd try that tune?
Actually, around the time that we went to war in the Far East, I sort of came out with that idea of rearranging the melody and trying to find a different way to play the chords.
Did you play it in your show?
Yeah, we did. In fact, there's actually a station in Nashville, Tennessee, where I live now, that goes off the air every night with it. So we actually
great.
Recorded it and everything.
And I imagine it got like big applause because of what was happening in the...
Right, it did. I think people couldn't figure out what it was until we hit the last few bars, and then suddenly, that's what they're playing.
And yet, it's very apparent. Like when you start out, you start out with the melody. That's really a nice idea. But you've got so many creative ideas. Tell me about the banjo. How you got started playing the banjo?
Well, actually, my grandfather gave me my first banjo when I was about 15. I had been playing a little bit of guitar at that time and not really getting anywhere with it. You know, no really magic connection had happened. But when I got that banjo, my life changed. It's like before the banjo and after the banjo.
Really?
It was a real difference for me.
Well, were you sort of a dissolute teenager up until that time?
Yeah, well, I didn't have any direction. I certainly was... didn't have confidence, and I was real overweight, and, you know, I wouldn't say I was an unhappy kid, but I certainly hadn't found, I had no idea what I was going to be or what I wanted to do. But when I found this instrument, all of that went away, and I never even thought again about what I would do. It just, I was much more interested in learning to play the instrument than I was about what I would do with it if I ever could, you know.
It's fabulous. What was your first gig when you started out to play professionally?
Well, actually, in New York around that time, this is the 70s, you know, the early 70s, the folk boom still had some things left over, and I used to go to the Hay Brother Coffee House on 106th Street and sit in, and then there used to be some jam sessions downtown. You could go and play along. And I don't know if that's happening anymore. I really don't think it is the same way.
Not as much as it should. I mean, years ago when we were playing on 52nd Street at the Hickory House, it seemed to me that a lot more was happening. People would come in every night
right. And
sit in. Duke Ellington sat in and Oscar Peterson sat in. And, you know, I was like a kid in a candy store.
What an exciting time that must
yeah,
have been.
Yeah, it really was. In case you just tuned in, my guest is Bela Fleck, and we have Gary Mazzarappi on bass. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, you know, I was listening to your record called Acoustic...
Yeah, Tales from the Acoustic Planet.
From the Acoustic Planet. I love that title.
Thank you.
And I was pleased to see some there when you recorded that. It wasn't like one person is on the West Coast and one is in Chicago. You all did that like a regular jazz record where you're all in the same studio. I think
that's
it
the
makes
best way
big
to play
difference.
Music, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's the best way. It's the best way. And... especially if you're doing music that breathes, you know. If you're doing music where there's pretty much of a rock beat and the drums are down, you know, and the drums aren't going to change too much and the rhythm section's not going to change too much, I don't think it's that big a deal. I mean, you can add a saxophone solo later or whatever. But if you're doing music where every single part is dependent on every other part, as jazz is, then you have to be there together. Because what if the soloist pushes forward a little and then the band jumps up with them? Or what if the bass player plays something great and then knocks the soloist into a different gear? That can't happen as an overdub.
Probably not. No, because it does happen a lot in playing jazz. You hear something that somebody else does, and it does make you go in a different direction, or it inspires you to do something you weren't intending to do.
Right, and then you, conversely, still have the opportunity to inspire that person who gave you the first idea, and then they change what they do. And when that musical conversation is going on, that's the greatest thing, because you're having this great discussion about this tune all together, and that can't really happen if you're doing it one part at a time. So there's times when you just, you know, you want to have somebody play and you can only get them for 2 hours of one day in one city and you can't get everybody there, and then, you know, you can make the most of it. There's definitely ways to overdub and make it work, but it never can be what it's like when you're playing together.
We don't have to do that today, Bela. So, you know what? When I was listening to the record, some of those tunes are so, they've got a sort of sweet quality to them, like that First Light is such a nice tune, and I just sort of basically just took down a little bit of the melody. Maybe we could play that together.
Sure, let's give it a shot.
Okay. You know, that's such a pretty little song, but it's so kind of spare that, you know, I would hate to get into it and play a flatted fifth or something that
right.
didn't fit.
It's sort of deceptive.
It is.
Because it's just so sort of consonant and simple that it sort of takes a little thinking as to how you want to approach it. But it sounded really good. I enjoyed playing it with you.
Yeah, I did too. When you're composing things, do you kind of sit down and say, I'm going to write something? Or do you hear something that seems to fit and you just jot it down or get it on tape or something?
Well, I find that I'll be driving down the road and a little melody fragment will come into my head and I'll sort of be humming it to myself and thinking, hmm. And then I'll think, wait a second, I don't know this tune. What is it? What is this? And then I realized that it's sort of popping out of my subconscious, and I'm writing. And then usually I'll rush home and try and retain it until I can either learn it on an instrument or sing it onto a tape recorder. And that's one way I write. And the other way I write is just to play the instrument and find an interesting area and just sort of start exploring it and flesh out, you know, a piece from an inspired sort of series of notes.
It's funny. I've even got a little notebook in the car on the seat. So if I can stop long enough and maybe jot down 4 or 5 notes, because otherwise I forget when I get home.
Right.
I'm really terrible like
I
that.
I wish so. I could write. I don't really read or write music, so I have to use my memory or a tape recorder to get it down.
Well, you seem to be doing all right with whatever you're using. You've got all those good things that are on the record. And you know, I'd really love to play one of my tunes for you, says she boldly. And this one's something I did years ago, and it was actually written for a kid's ballet. And while I was writing it, I was looking at a video of little kids in their ballet shoes, and it sort of gave me the inspiration to write this tune, which is called A Delicate Balance.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I'm really lucky to be having such a great time here today. My guest is Bela Fleck. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Well, now let's get into one of the tunes that all musicians love to play by Jerome Kern. And I'm sure you do this one, All the Things You Are.
Sure, that'll be fun. Let's do
that. Okay.
Thank you.
You know, that tune is always fun to play, those sort of what I call chase choruses.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice to do that.
It's nice to really listen to each other and jump on each other's ideas and see where it goes. It's fun.
Yeah. Let's see. I know. I wanted to ask you about, future plans. You must have... I was looking at your list of things that you've done over the years, and you seem to have done just about everything anybody could do. What do you have in your head for the future?
Well, one of the things I really enjoy a lot is playing with musicians from all over the world. And I had the opportunity to record with an Indian guitarist named Mohan Bhatt and a Chinese violinist named Jieping Chen. And we did some improvising together that was sort of across all the cultural boundaries.
What fun. And, well, have you met them in the States? Or I guess you go to these different countries and your tours.
Yeah, I've had good luck to get to go to some incredible places all over the world. We were in the Far East for a lot of the beginning of this year, a couple of months. And the guys I normally play with, Victor Lamont Wooten and Future Man, are some of the most remarkable musicians on the planet. So I certainly hope our relationship will continue the way it has, which has been, we play together a lot, you know, sometimes as much as 200 shows a year. And then with various guests sitting in, like Paul McCandless or Sam Bush, or who knows, Chick Corea even came and played a gig with us last month, and Bruce Hornsby, who I know is on the show too.
In fact, Bruce wrote a very pretty tune for your album, your CD. Well, that's great. So is there any place you haven't been to yet, like West Africa or New Zealand or
actually,
something?
Actually, I'm going to be going to Africa this year too, and that'll be really exciting because in a way it'll be bringing the banjo back to its homeland where it really came from, and because of course it came over here, or the knowledge of how to make it came over here on the slave ships.
See, I had no idea of that. That's pretty interesting.
It's really an African instrument, so in certain ways having it be, you know, finding a place for it in jazz music seems appropriate at this point.
That's wonderful. It's really, you've just got everything anybody could wish for going for you.
I feel really lucky to be able to do what I do. I feel like it's a privilege, you know, to play with the musicians I get to play with, and to be able to play my own music. I know a lot of people don't get to, so I take it pretty seriously.
How about playing one of your own things next,
sure,
a solo thing?
Sure, I've been sort of experimenting with some chords and voicings. I'm always looking for different sounds on the instrument, so maybe I'll take a shot at some of these ideas I've got here.
Okay, has it got a title?
Not really.
Okay,
that's what we'll call it. Not really.
Not really. Okay. Thank you. that was sort of a differently interesting piece. Are you really going to call it Not Really?
Not Really.
Well, you'll think up a title for it.
I'll think of something when I finish the piece.
You know what would be fun would be to just do an off the top of our heads piece, like not even knowing where it's, how it's going to start. Are you
sure.
game for that?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right. You know, that's always fun for me to do. You really sort of get a idea of what the other person is into.
Right.
With those things, don't you think?
Yeah, you take away the chains of the song structure and sort of let it go.
Yeah, so it's like everyone for themselves on that. But I always have a good time doing it.
And there's no wrong notes, or either that or they're all wrong notes. I'm not sure
Oh, I
which.
Prefer to say there's no wrong notes. Oh, that was nice, and there was a little, a little basis, a little melody in there once in a while. One kind of peeked through.
Yeah, but some good interacting.
Oh, definitely.
Was happening, so that's fun.
That's the best part of that. In case you just tuned in, my guest is Bela Fleck, and we have Gary Mazzarappi on bass. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. You know what we haven't done, Bela, and that is like some pretty ballad, and I saw on your list of tunes, Polka Dots and Moonbeams.
Yeah, I used to mess around with that a little bit.
Why don't you mess around with it now?
Okay, let's mess around with it a little bit.
Okay. One of my all-time favorite ballads, and I think you played it beautifully.
Thank you. I've always loved that tune, too.
Yeah, that's really nice. And you know what I would love to do for you is being that you like Chick Corea so much, I thought maybe I'd do one of his tunes for you.
Great, I'd love
would
to
you
hear
like
it.
That?
Yeah.
Well, this is one I learned, I guess, from him when he was on Piano Jazz years ago. And it's really pretty. It's called Crystal Silence. ¶¶
That's beautiful.
It's a pretty song. Actually, that's something that would lend itself to your instrument. You could really play that. It's got that sort of simple minor melody, which he's so good at. You know, I was looking at the tunes on the new record, and not only did you have Chick Corea, but you had Branford Marsalis on the record. That must have been a kick.
Yeah, it was really fun, and I don't think they had ever played together before, so it was a real, real treat to hear them together.
Oh, you said something about that, and that the date was over, and they kept playing.
Yeah,
they were having such a good time.
Yeah, they were having a good time, but the mics weren't turned on, you know, and there was no mic in the room for Branford anyway. So it was too bad we didn't catch some of that.
That's funny, but Branford always seems to have a great time. And a while ago, he made this record. He had Milt Hinton on bass.
Right, the trio record.
Trio GP,
yeah.
It was,
yeah,
called.
That's a nice record.
And he, to my surprise, he played this real ancient tune called Royal Garden Blues. And we were talking about it before the show. Maybe you'd like to wind up and play your version of that.
Sure. I mean, my version is taken from playing it with Branford too, because he's sat in with the Flecktones a couple of times, and we were trying to think what could we do, and I always liked that tune, so sure, let's take a shot at it. Thank you.
Boy, that was terrific.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest today has been banjo player Bela Fleck, with Gary Mazzarapi on bass. Join us each week at this time when Piano Jazz brings you conversation and improvisation with other outstanding jazz artists. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Andrew Milano, mastering engineer Bill Sexton, production coordinators Gene Pinkston and Meg Hires, executive producer Tom Clark. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, from the Friends of Piano Jazz and NPR. Support also comes from Save America's Treasures, through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. The original production was made possible in part by Exxon Corporation. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR.